This is Winning with ADHD, a podcast for parents to empower students. Build up your ADHD teens so that they recognize their own talents, creativity, and uniqueness. Get tips and tricks to help overcome executive functioning challenges. Listen to stories and experiences of what worked and what did not. Together, let's find ways to build your child's self-esteem and start winning with ADHD. And now, here's your host, Heather Walker.
Hi, friends. Welcome to March and this month's episode of the Winning with ADHD podcast. I am incredibly excited to share the resources that I've prepared for you this month and the topic that I'd like to have a conversation with you about, which is our homework station. Homework was honestly the piece that kind of sent me over the edge when it came to helping my daughter be able to work within the strengths and the weaknesses of having ADHD. And in previous episodes, I've shared kind of what that breaking point was for me when she was in 10th grade and we were in the car coming home from school, and it wasn't a pleasant experience. It wasn't a happy experience. And I think we both left that car ride feeling completely deflated, defeated, hopeless, all of those things that I'm sure many of you have felt at various times. And that is how Disrupt ADHD was born, was from that point. And I think that once we get to a point where we don't feel like it can maybe get any worse is when we start to be able to climb back up. And I would say that that is the case for my journey as a parent, and hopefully for my daughter's journey as the child in this, in our story, right? And so today I want to share with you some of the thoughts that I have around homework, a homework station, and ways that you can help create success and start stacking those wins when it comes to homework. As I mentioned just a second ago, it can be incredibly overwhelming. It can be daunting. I recall that there were times where we had over 30 missing assignments. And I have friends that I've talked to who have had similar situations, if not worse situations, than the time that I'm thinking of in my experience as parenting a child with ADHD. And so when we had this moment, we were trying to figure out what should we do? How could we make this work? And because we were at a point that was so incredibly painful, it forced us to move. And I think there are probably quotes and sayings and people far more incredible with words than I am that have said similar things of, when you reach a point where it is so painful, that's what will help facilitate you to change, because now the change is less painful than the current situation that you're in. And I think that that's incredibly true, because if it's painful, but it's not so painful that we just kind of keep ourselves in that situation or that environment, we don't change because it's what we know, and change can be hard. What if it doesn't work? Was one of the things that I said often, or what if I put in all of this effort and I don't get anything out of it? And if I really step back in all of my life's experiences, I would say that every time I've put hard work into it, there has been something that has been worth it that has came out of it, whether it be parenting, whether it be the changes that we made to help Emily with homework and ADHD, whether it be things that I do in my career. Anything that I've ever put any effort into may not have turned out exactly the way that I thought it might, but there was always something that good came from it. I learned lessons. I became a better person. I was able to celebrate some wins or some successes. Being able to see myself or my family show up in ways that felt completely foreign because we had been in such a different space before. So let's talk about this workspace environment for homework. Here are the changes that we made, and like an acronym that I have created to help you remember what you need to do to help create a better homework environment workstation. The acronym is PROVEN, And the P in it stands for positive energy with breaks. I believe that the very first piece that comes into having a successful homework session is to have a positive energy. Now, this could look a number of different ways. I believe it starts with you as the parent having a positive energy around it, and the second part being your child having a positive energy around it. And this might not be something that comes naturally to either of you, but if you make a decision to show up in a positive way with a positive energy, it is catching. As a mom, you hear all the time that, if mom's mad, everybody's unhappy, right? I believe the same thing goes the other way, that if mom is in a positive attitude, if mom is showing up in a positive light energy, and is happy around the situation that is being created, that it is contagious and that it will come across. If you are calm and logical and being able to work through the things that are being thrown at you, such as, well, I'm not good at math, or I'm frustrated, or I can't find this. Like, I literally had this happen today over trying to find an email to send somebody a question, right? Like, there was so much frustration and potentially anxiety and emotion around being unable to find an email address on a website. And so being able to show up calm and positive doesn't necessarily mean that it's the toxic positivity that we're talking about. It's not that it hasn't gone wrong before or that it can't go wrong now, but by maintaining yourself in a positive way and in a calm way will allow them to see you show up that way and help them be able to maintain that calm or more calm type of energy to allow their brain to just like relax just a little bit, and that you can actually get something done. Another thing, or the next item is R in proven, which is remove distractions. So we're going to remove, turn off the TV. We're going to remove electronics. We're going to maybe ask other family members to watch TV or do activities in another part of the house. We're going to see what we can do to help make the space a place where there aren't as many things to be able to be distracted by. I think you all probably already know this, but distractions can be created from just about anything, from fingernails to shoelaces to the way that the light is shining in the room. So you clearly can't get rid of everything, but you can get rid of the obvious ones and the ones that will just make it a little bit more difficult to get going and get moving. The next part is O in proven, which is overwhelmed task managed. So, if we're going to manage those overwhelming tasks, what is that going to look like? Maybe we need to give a little bit of a pep talk before we get started. Maybe we say, you know what, I'm going to sit right here with you and I can help you. Let's maybe watch a video on what you're learning and see if we can get a better idea of what we're trying to do here or what concept we're trying to learn. Math pages are a great way to reduce overwhelm by maybe, folding the piece of paper in half or cutting out a section, maybe make a copy of it and cut out a section, only do three problems instead of 10, for example. Another piece that you can do is work on project management, which is helping them break down the tasks. Math is an area that is typically more difficult because there's a lot of steps involved and that can be overwhelming. Writing a paper can be very overwhelming because there's just so many words on a page and just getting started can be difficult. So breaking it down and saying, you know what, we're just going to work on three sentences right now, or the first paragraph. Or maybe you even start before that and we're going to work on an outline. What are some of the things that we're going to talk about in this paper? And so helping with some of that project management and breaking down those steps into little pieces can be a way that you can help manage the overwhelm that comes along with doing homework. The V in proven is visible and quiet area. So we're looking for a space where they are visible to you, that their screen is visible to you if they're doing work on a computer, that they are in a quiet area. We chose the kitchen table as our space, and it has proven to have its own challenges. One is that it's visible, and I'm able to help keep an eye on or sit next to Emily as she's working. But it's also like the central part of the home. And so it's not always a quiet space. So some of the other things that I've talked about with removing distractions and creating a positive energy causes us to have to choose a time in which we're going to meet, or say, you know what, right now we can't get started. Let's get these things cleared out and then we can get started. So along with this includes timing, right? So if you're choosing the kitchen table, which I think is a great place to work, you're going to want to be specific about the time that you're meeting there. You probably don't want to have focus time as maybe other kids are coming home from school, or maybe as it's everybody's milling around for a snack or getting dessert or dinner or those types of things, because that's very distracting, not just from the noise level, but just the movement around the room and the other things that are happening. The E in proven is having an efficient body double or oversight. A body double is somebody who is doing work alongside of you. And kind of like if you think about like an actor has a body double with stunts, they're working right along with them throughout the storyline of creating this masterpiece, and they do the stunts next to them, or maybe they take on certain scenes for various reasons. Body doubling for ADHD is similar in that you will sit next to them, or somebody will sit next to them doing similar type of work that can be allow for you to offer oversight, make sure that they're staying on task, prompting them, but also that they have somebody else to kind of almost mirror off of. So with my daughter, we sit at the kitchen table and I either work or I pay bills, or sometimes if I'm not feeling like I want to do those other things, or I've already completed my work for the day, I can scroll social media, I could paint my nails, I could do my grocery shopping, I could do meal planning. There's like a million different things that I can do at the kitchen table as I sit next to her. One of the things that I originally thought, because our psychologist told us, sit at the kitchen table with her, this will make it much better. And I was like, I shouldn't have to sit at the kitchen table. But once I had a shift in my mindset, I realized that there are so many different things that I can do at the kitchen table while she's doing schoolwork. And ultimately, it's better for me because she's getting the work done, which reduces frustration and stress and anxiety on my part for her being behind in schoolwork. But I'm also able to get other things done. So when she's done working at the kitchen table, I can be done working at the kitchen table, and we both are rewarded with the free time that comes after that. So that is something that was a really, really big shift for me, and being able to help her and me at the same time. The last part of this acronym of PROVEN is N for non-negotiable dedicated space. So I've talked about the kitchen table so far in this podcast, but also in other podcast episodes about why it's so important for us to sit at the kitchen table and to do this body doubling. It really doesn't matter what space you choose, but you need to have a dedicated space. Meaning that if you choose the kitchen table like us, then they shouldn't be on the couch, they shouldn't be in the chair, they shouldn't be in their room, they shouldn't be in the family room, they shouldn't be outside. If they're asking for those things and you're not willing to go with them or sit with them in those spaces, then it's not going to work, because it doesn't help the brain stay focused on what activities you're supposed to be doing. I'm not always great at this because I like to move around as well while I work. But staying at the kitchen table, your brain knows that I do schoolwork or homework at this kitchen table, and that when I'm sitting at this kitchen table, I'm working. And then if you're on the couch though, and you're used to playing video games or watching TV or hanging out and having a good time, your brain associates that with that part of your home and the activities that you do there. So we want to stick to that non-negotiable dedicated space. Another reason why that's important is that typically it's an excuse to find another place that then distracts and gives them an opportunity to focus on something else or be distracted by the cat or the dog or maybe other things that are happening within the home. And so deciding on a dedicated space and sticking to it is the last part of that proven acronym for creating an environment that allows you to win with ADHD with homework or schoolwork in general. Couple of laws that I recently came across that tie in to all of these pieces that we've just talked about are number one, Murphy's Law, which we've all heard of, that if you think about it or if it's possible, then it's going to happen. And one way that I heard about it recently is that if you fear it the most, it's more likely that it will happen. I'd like to actually change it the other way, and that if you believe it the most, that it is more likely to happen. And so if you fear homework, or if you stress about homework time, or you have a lot of anxiety around homework time, then it's going to create anxiety and stress during homework time. But if we believe that we can make homework time a success and that it can be a fulfilling time or, session, then we can make sure that that happens. So having that mindset can help you make sure that you create an environment that is one of success. Another thing that I'd like to add with this is that this homework station and having these successful sessions can take a while to get there. So be patient with the process. And I know patient is a hard word to hear sometimes. I don't like being patient. I wouldn't say that I'm the most patient person. I want to see results. I want to see an impact from it, or I want to have a reward from it. And I believe our kids with ADHD sit in the same spot. They're looking for that immediate win, or they also have that negative mindset around, well, homework time hasn't gone well for me before. Why would it go well for me now? And so it is going to take some time for both you and your child to change that mindset and move into a direction that allows you to have positive homework sessions. Along with that, setting the amount of time that you work on homework is really important as well, so that it doesn't feel like it just goes on forever. There were times where we would sit at the kitchen table and we would work all evening long. She would be in school all day. We would work all evening. We'd get up. She'd go to school. We'd come. We'd work all evening again. We would then work all weekend. And so it got to the point where it felt like we couldn't ever get out of it. Like it was just hopeless in a sense of there's no way, why would I even do this? Because it doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to be in the same situation. So setting a time frame on how long you're going to work and then utilizing that time to the best of your ability would be great. Now, there are two different situations here. You've got, a brand new school year where maybe everything's going well so far and you have new assignments and you're not feeling behind because you have so many past due assignments. Then in that case, you can kind of start with a fresh perspective, amount of assignments and what is due. If you're in the situation where you have so many past due tasks, I would recommend a similar thing as well of saying that we're going to work on a certain amount of time, and then maybe you have extra sessions. And then that way, it also doesn't feel like that's all you have to do and that there's nothing else to life at the moment. So if you're going to say, we're going to do homework for an hour from 4 to 5, and then maybe you say, we're going to do for another hour because we're running behind from 6:30 to 7:30, then you work on the homework during that time and get as much as you can done during that time. There are also situations where maybe you have a really good plan and your child's been showing up really well, and then you have a bad day. That has happened to us so many different times where the ability to show up in the right way, it's just not possible that day. And that's okay. And at that point, we need to just let it go. And we need to say, you know what? We're not actually being productive at all here today. This is actually just making it worse. We're going to come back either later or we're going to come back tomorrow. If you are really behind in schoolwork, I'd highly recommend that you work with the teachers in the school. If you have an IEP or a 504, that is also something that can be really helpful to you. But working with your school in those situations to maybe reduce the number of assignments or reduce the workload within the assignments, a common thing that is done for those with ADHD is saying, well, instead of 30 problems, we're going to do 15 problems, for example. So the teacher then can choose which ones are the ones that are most important to make sure that they're understanding the concept. And so remembering that the concept is more important than the quantity of the problems that are solved for. Another law that I wanted to talk through today was Kidlin's law. This says that if you're able to clearly write down the problem, then the problem is half solved. I loved this law because as we've been working through these worksheets for 2024, creating actionable ways to move forward, I believe that as you work through these worksheets and these pages and answer the questions thoughtfully and what you can do or what has been going well, what hasn't been going well, that you will be able to identify really quickly some low-hanging fruit on some things that are not going well of where the problem lies. For example, if your child is doing homework in their room without anybody else around to help keep them on track, and yet they spend hours doing homework but really don't ever get anything done, I think that would be a really easy area to pick out the problem and to be able to start solving for it. So that could be one of your quick little changes to help make it better almost instantly by allowing them to be in a better space for success. Another law is Gilbert's law. And this one says that the biggest problem with any job is that there's no one there to tell you what to do. I came across this one and I thought, man, if that is not the best description of what being a parent is like, I mean, Gilbert's law might as well be parents' law because they don't come with an instruction manual. They don't come with how to solve all of the problems and situations that come up that you have to handle as a parent with your kids. And each of your kids are different. And so, even though you've started to figure one out, the next one has a completely different way of going about it. And so, to me, Gilbert's law basically is parents' law because we don't have somebody telling us exactly what to do, and we've got to figure it out, and we've got to find new ways. What's really cool about that is that we can find ways that work for our ADHD kids and help them to be successful because it's not like anyone has told us exactly how this needs to go. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword in that we don't have direction, but we also have this awesome autonomy to be able to figure out what will create the most success within our family, for our child, for us as we are parents. The next law that I wanted to talk about was Falkland's Law. And this one says that if you don't have to make a decision now, don't make one. And this one is perfect for ending this episode of the podcast because I think a lot of times we get caught up in, well, what if they don't finish all of their assignments? What if they fail? What if they don't get a good grade? What if we get into another fight? What if they're not able to get all of these missing assignments done? And we're a little bit more future focused in our thoughts. And so we don't need to make a decision about that today. What we need to make a decision about is what can we do right now today that is actionable to help see an improvement at some point, right? If we say we're going to do homework at the kitchen table today and you've not done that before, well, you've kind of created more problems in a sense, and that there's probably going to be a little bit of a battle of, no, I want to do homework in my room. Well, of course, they're going to want to do homework in their room. That's where they've been doing it. And they haven't had anybody like keeping track of them or helping them get on tasks. So they've been able to kind of do what they wanted and almost like disassociate potentially or ignore the problem at hand. So just remember that the decision you make today might not be the easy one, but put our energy towards that. And we don't need to worry about making a decision about what happens if they don't pass. What happens if they get a bad grade? What happens if whatever? We can deal with those later. Focus on right now in the present. What can we do to help make this more successful in the long run? Knowing that this is a long-term game, not a short-term game, of being able to teach them how to work through hard things. Because while school might end in 12 years, life starts and continues the entire time. It's throughout the entire 12 years and then on into the rest of their life. And if we are unable to learn the skills that we need to during our formative years, in those 12 years of school, then we're going to struggle when we get past that. And so we need to start working on coping skills, on how to cope with our need for to do hard things or to overcome the challenges that come with ADHD, creating an environment that removes distractions. So once you start to do these things, they will start to pick up on them. And while they will probably continue to need prompting or direction, you're setting the stage for them or setting the environment for them of skills that they'll need throughout their entire life. So this isn't just about, well, we need to get the homework assignment done today. It's actually a little bit more long term, but what is it that we're doing right now today to help start us down a path of success and being able to stack those wins with ADHD? I hope this was incredibly helpful for you. If you've just listened to the podcast, head over to our website at disruptadhd.com. Go to the podcast section up at the top right, and from there, you can click on the link to download the worksheets that I've referenced in this podcast. For the year of 2024, I am creating actionable worksheets that ask you questions and prompt you on how to think about what is happening right now. What do you like? What do you not like about the situation? And how could you maybe make a change? And then tracking what that change looks like. How are you doing in facilitating that change? And then being able to see how things are starting to improve. Because I guarantee you, if you are consistent in holding the homework session at your non-negotiable dedicated space, that you will start to see changes over a few weeks. And so being able to say, well, this is what it looked like when we started on day one. We're now at day 30, and how is it going now? And hopefully, and I honestly believe you will, see some change of positive direction towards being more successful in completing homework and having really what's most important, a more positive relationship in working through this challenge with ADHD. I hope you guys have a great month, and I'll talk to you soon.
Winning with ADHD is brought to you by Disrupt ADHD. Head on to disruptadhd.com/learn more.